Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. Well, the weather and the traffic are probably two things almost all New Englanders find themselves complaining about. And a new analysis says when it comes to traffic, you may be completely justified because, yes, commute times in Greater Boston really are getting worse. Boston Globe reporter Beth Tytel compared public transit schedules and some recent studies, and she found that the commute into and out of Boston has gotten longer in the past decade. And she joins us in studio to talk about this. Hi, Beth.
Hello.
Also with us is Chris Dempsey. He's the director of the group Transportation for Massachusetts. That's a group that works to provide transportation for Massachusetts residents and improve it. He's also a former state transportation official. Hi there, Chris.
Hey, Deborah.
Okay, so listeners, we want you to join in this conversation as well. Tell us about your commute. Is it getting worse? What do you do to pass the time? Have you had to make any changes because of the amount of time it takes you to get to work? You can call us at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also send us a tweet at Radio Boston. So Beth, I want to start with you. It seems like just about every year, maybe a couple times a year, there's a study about commuting, right?
Yes.
And it tells us who's got the longest, who's got it the worst. Oh, my gosh. So what's different about this particular analysis?
Well, what I wanted to do was to make it really tangible for people. I think it's one thing to say, oh, Boston commuters are stuck in 60 hours of traffic a year. But it's another thing to say, oh, the MBTA's number 505 express from Waltham to the Financial District that used to take 47 minutes 10 years ago now takes 63 minutes. That's a very real way to look at how much the traffic has grown, I think.
Right, right. It was fascinating. So tell us a little bit about what you found in these. It was, the bus from Fairhaven to Coffin
Yeah, so Swift, I, what I did was I got the MBTA bus schedules. I compared them from 10 years ago to today, and also some private bus schedules. So, for example, there's a company called DATCO that runs a bus from Fairhaven, as you said, right to Copley. And that used to take, I think, about how many minutes? That took like
90, I think.
That took about 90 minutes, and now it's probably about 120 minutes. So you get 130 minutes.
So in 10 years, it went from 90 to 130 minutes to get from Fairhaven to Copley
Square
by bus.
And it's a similar story from southern New Hampshire. In 2008, the 7:30 a.m. Boston Express bus from North Londonderry, New Hampshire, to South Station arrived at 8:35, and that was a 65-minute trip. Today, that same express bus gets in at 9:10, 100 minutes. So you can just see right there, in every case, the bus was leaving at the same time, making the same number of stops and following the same route.
And still.
Yeah.
So yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. And just a lighter note, a real estate agent who sells in Waltham told me that they used to be able to advertise houses by saying a 20-minute trip into Boston, and they can no longer say that. He said it's too dangerous.
They stopped saying it. Well, yeah. And Chris, what do you think about this notion of traffic getting worse, and how do we know it and we're just not whining?
It's absolutely getting worse. There's a study by a company called Inrix that found that the average driver in Greater Boston wastes $1,800 per year in lost time and higher fuel costs. That was in 2016. In 2017, that jumped to $2,000 per year. So there are enormous economic costs to people of this congestion, but it's also quality of life costs. It's time away from your family. It's less time at the gym or eating healthy and more time stuck in really frustrating, soul-crushing traffic.
So let's talk about some of the reasons why. I mean, is it poor public transportation? Is it aging infrastructure? Certainly we all complain about the MBTA too. You know, is it more ride-sharing companies have cars on the road, a better economy, more people are employed, so there are more jobs here? I mean, Beth, what did you find that, like, what seemed to be the main reason why people felt that their commutes were longer?
Well, that's interesting. You hit a lot of them. One thing is that there's just a much larger volume of cars on the road than there used to be. So that what that means is that if anything happens, rain, a few more cars getting added, things get much slower very quickly. A lot of the roads are what they call at capacity already, and I'm sure Chris can speak to this. So anything can mess it up. So you're getting the situation where you have these epic traffic jams now. Like one, you know, everybody leaves a little early because it's supposed to snow and they want to get their kids from daycare. So that really, right, you know, jams things up. So that's a problem. I think it's all those things added together, like the Uber drivers, the Lyft drivers, the construction, people, the economy's better, gas is cheaper. So, and people, a lot of people say to me they'd rather take the train, and they might even live close to the train, but it doesn't run often enough, or it doesn't leave at a convenient time. So, or it's too expensive. So it's so disappointing because you have all these people who do want to take public transportation, but it's not actually working for them.
Chris, what do you think some of the big factors are here?
Well, so Beth was really getting at this. You know, one of the issues here, the main issue, is that traffic is what engineering geeks call a non-linear function. And if you forgive the technical term there, what that really means is that at a certain point, every car that gets added to the system creates more congestion than the car that came before it. And it kind of looks like a hockey stick when you graph it. Sort of the road's open, the road's open, the road's open, and then all of a sudden, very quickly, it becomes congested. Now, that's a really bad dynamic. The only silver lining there is that if we can move ahead with some policies that take a relatively small number of cars off the road at rush hour, it can actually have a really big impact. You can move down that curve very quickly. The rule of thumb there is that getting 5% of the cars off the road at rush hour gives you a 20% reduction in traffic.
Huh.
It's kind of like when you drive in the summer on a Friday morning and the road feels really open.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that 20% of people are on vacation. It's that like 5% are, but the road feels empty. That's something that we should be trying to deliver to Massachusetts drivers every day.
Well, I wonder, though, because with technology, why do so many people have to drive during prime time and 9 to 5 when people can stagger now and it's so much easier? And if it would reduce traffic by 20%, that doesn't seem like an impossible thing to get 5% of the cars off the road. But there are so many callers, our lines are completely jammed. So we'll ask that question, or maybe one of our listeners will. Marjorie is calling from Norton. Marjorie, you're on the air.
Hi, this is such a great topic.
Okay, well, how come? Because you have a great commute, right, Marjorie?
Oh, no. I've been commuting for 40 years. Via subway, commuter rail, and by car, and I've never seen it as bad as it's been in the last 2 or 3 years. It's very frustrating, and I try to keep my sanity by listening to podcasts when I have to drive in.
Or the radio, of course.
Yes, of course. Trying to work from home one day a week, or taking the commuter rail, which is also a frustrating experience.
So mostly you're driving.
Most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you think it's gotten really bad in the past 2 years. So how long does it take you to go from Norton to Boston typically?
Just this morning, it took me 2 hours. I was traveling about 35 miles and I was doing 16 miles per hour.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Marjorie, thanks so much for the call. Jeff is calling from the Mass Pike. Jeff, you're on the air.
Hi. What can I tell you?
Well, tell me about your commute.
Oh, the commute is, I'm looking at it right now. And I'm traveling, Marjorie said she's at 16 miles an hour. I'm at 9.
You're at 9.
And
where are you? On the Mass Pike where?
Yeah, in fact, I just flipped off the Mass Pike. I'm now on 128. So I don't know that I was a whole lot faster on the Mass Pike.
Mm. And it's a parking lot right now.
Well, it's moving at 9, market parking lot that moves at 9 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm. So is that, so typically what's your commute like? Is it a couple of hours a day?
No, luckily I don't live that far away, but it was easily 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
As I mentioned to your producer, I more or less threw up my hands and worked 4 days a week from home.
Oh, you work 4 days a week from home now, so you don't have to do this every day. When did you start doing that?
Yeah. About a year and a half ago.
Okay. Well, Jeff, thanks so much. I want to talk with our guests a little bit about that. So Chris, what about that? Why, if folks like Jeff can work 4 days a week from home, Marjorie 1 day a week from home, why are we seeing traffic getting worse?
Well, look, it's just the demand issue. And I think you are, Deborah, you are seeing a lot of people shifting. They are working from home. A lot of people that are getting up at 5 in the morning so that they're on the road by 5:30 and trying to beat traffic. What they're seeing is that rush hour used to be, you know, maybe an hour in the morning, an hour in the afternoon, and now rush hour is 3 or 4 hours long each of those times. So our roads are over capacity, and it's only when we do a smarter job of managing that limited road space that we're going to be able to get cars going at 65 miles per hour on a highway as they should be going. That's what they're designed for. That's what we can have them moving at, but we have to start to make some tough choices around how we use that limited road space.
Mm-hmm. Beth, I'm wondering what you think. Some of the reasons why we aren't seeing, you know, at least some kind of reduction from some things. Is it maybe ride-sharing companies also increasing volume on the roads?
Yeah. Well, there was that study that showed that a lot of people riding Uber and Lyft actually had MBTA passes. They were just deciding not to take them. But just picking up on something Chris said, I did some reporting earlier this year that showed that rush hour has expanded so greatly that it's basically always rush hour. Like, a lot of people told me, you think you're leaving early, but you're never leaving early enough.
Right.
And so you don't even know when you actually need to leave. Yeah, I think if you could, there's this, I think of it as the dreaded math of Boston traffic, which is that if you are, you leave 5 minutes later than you want to, it can cost you 20 minutes. Things really grow exponentially.
Yeah, yeah. So I want to just remind our listeners, we're talking with Beth Tytel, who writes for the Boston Globe, and her recent story was titled, "It's Not Your Imagination, Your Boston Commute Is Getting Worse." Chris Dempsey is with us as well. He's director of the group Transportation for Massachusetts, and we're talking about commutes. You can call us at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. We want to talk about solutions, too, and we want to hear from you. What do you think would help make the drive into and out of Boston better? Paul is calling from Nahant. Paul, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good. Look, there's no question that this is getting to be a terrible headache for everyone, and there's no question that the ultimate solution is to finally raise the tax money to do rapid transit the way it should be done. But let's talk about some solutions that we can implement right now. First of all, let's expedite any construction project that impacts traffic. They did that very effectively with the Turnpike bridge rebuild over Comair. Mm-hmm. They finished it in 3 weeks. Whereas now the entryway to the Callahan Tunnel has been under construction for more than a year. They've turned it into an every morning nightmare. Mm-hmm. So instead of having 60 projects going on at once, let's do 20 projects and let's finish them in a few weeks rather than stretch them out month after month after month. Mm-hmm. Another thing, double parking. Double parking should be a capital offense, as far as I'm concerned. There is no reason why all of those high-paid policemen at the airport, the guy who's pulling down $200,000 a year, should be shooing people away from the front of the terminals when they should be in town shooing people away from double parking. All right, deliveries. Deliveries should be scheduled at night, not during the day. Let's get those big trucks off the road. And what about all those private construction projects where contractors think nothing about picking up a lane of traffic and having dump trucks and deliveries at any time of the day, and whether it's rush hour or not? Let's force them to stay within the bounds of the project, of the construction project itself, and stop letting them impinge on the public roadways.
Okay, Paul, thanks so much. We've got a lot of suggestions there. Thank you for calling. Want to get some other callers in who can tell us about their commutes as well. Mike is calling about his commute from Boston to Gloucester. Mike, you're on the air.
Hi, how you doing?
How long does it take?
Well, I started a job in Boston 12 years ago. It was 55 minutes door to door. Now the average day is an hour and a half, and it goes up from there depending on the on what goes on the road, like you were saying, rain or an accident.
So some days it's more than an hour and a half for you to get to Gloucester from Boston.
Oh, easily at least 1 or 2 days a week, mm-hmm. something happens that drives that up to an hour and 45 minutes to 2 hours each way.
And why don't you take public transportation?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, although this is going to start sounding like more like group therapy for everybody calling in. I take the commuter rail occasionally when it's convenient. My car was in the shop and I had to take it, and it infuriated me because although I prepaid the ticket, no one was there to collect it on the train because that day the train, this is an evening rush hour commute home, around 5 o'clock train, there was only one conductor on the train, and he announced that the only thing he could do was let people on and off the train at the door. So nobody collected fares. So if the T is running that inefficiently, and they're calling for rate increases, I really find it hard to justify when they can't seem to make their current system work.
So you basically think that the system is inefficient, and so you won't take You won't take public transit.
Well, as I'm driving on Route 1 right now, I can see that, you know, the large majority of cars have one person in them. And I see that every day when I come in Boston or leaving Boston. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a lack of confidence in the public transit system and the cost. Mm.
Right. Okay, Bridget is calling from Linfield. We're going to go to her next. Mike, thank you. Bridget, you're on the air.
Hi. I just moved from Topsfield to Linfield to cut 10 miles off my commute. It's helped a little bit, but what I wanted to share was my husband works for MIT, and they actually give him a T-pass, and they subsidize parking and the commuter rail. And so he has switched to public transportation because, he works for a great company, and they're able to do that. Public transportation from our house is actually more expensive than the gas and the tolls that it takes to get into Boston. So I think and it actually takes less time for me to drive than it does to take public transportation, because by the time I get to a T-stop, I've practically almost gotten to work, and then it's another 45 minutes to get to the stop that I need to get off at.
Right.
So I think time and money, even though traffic is horrible, it's better than the T.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Bridget, thanks so much. Well, I'm going to talk with some of our guests about that. Beth, did you hear from a lot of folks those same things? We're hearing the commuter rail is not efficient. It's expensive. I'm looking at some of our callers that we may not be able to get to here, and they're saying it doesn't run at convenient times.
I heard all those things, especially from people with young kids at home or pets at home, someone who has to be able to rely on the fact they can get home. Of course, you might not get home on the road either, but they were afraid to take public transportation. I was really struck by the real-world impacts on the traffic people had on people's lives, including one working mother I spoke with, who said that if she's running late, not only does she have to pay $7 per half hour to get her infant son from his daycare, but she's still breastfeeding and her milk starts to build up, which adds extra urgency to her trip. And she said a lot of working mothers she knows pump while they're driving.
In traffic.
And I said, oh, that sounds tough. She said, yeah, but they like it because they're multitasking, which seemed just like a lot for
working parents.
We're not
even supposed to text when we're drunk.
I know.
Let's not go there. But Chris, I'm wondering, why is it that it doesn't seem to be important, if you will, to improve our public transportation system so this isn't a continuing and increasing problem?
Well, it's hugely important, and we need more attention on that, and more investment in public transit will definitely help. I also like some of the other ideas that have been presented. You know, Paul from Nahant mentioned getting big trucks off of the road at rush hour. And that's really something that we need to be doing more of in Massachusetts. Other regions around the country are using smarter tolling policies to get big trucks off the road at certain times. So imagine giving a truck driver a discount for any time they shift their trip from 7:30 a.m. until 4:30 a.m. or even 10 a.m. That's a tool that is working very well around the country. And we don't do any of that in Massachusetts. We actually toll in kind of the dumbest way possible, which is a flat toll no matter what time of day it is and no matter what the demand for the road is. And that's really an antiquated way to be tolling. It doesn't give people a good experience on the road. We need to be thinking about how to make that better through smarter management of that road space.
So one of the big solutions, you would say, would be to change the way we toll for road use?
Absolutely. That is going to be critical to actually solving the issue of congestion on the roads.
Is it possible, or is it, efficient to try to do what Paul had suggested earlier in our conversation and expedite construction projects? He pointed out the Commonwealth Avenue Bridge and said that was done in 3 weeks, which does seem pretty miraculous.
That's part of it, too. And MassDOT is getting better every year at trying to bundle projects together and do whole corridors at once. But I think what Beth has really pointed out in her work is that this is not just a construction issue. This is really a day-to-day issue on our roads, even that are not undergoing any sort of construction. If we want to fix that problem, it's about better allocation of that road space. The construction piece will help around the edges, but it's not the game changer that something like a smarter tolling policy or better road management would be.
Advice to commuters. I'd like to hear from both of you. Beth, you go first.
Oh, that's a good question. I guess I would say take public transportation whenever you can, because to me it seems like even if it's a little bit longer, if you can afford the time, you can use it efficiently. You can work on your laptop if there's Wi-Fi. If not, you can work maybe offline, or you can read or listen to music. So you don't arrive feeling that you've wasted an hour hoping to make the green light.
Chris?
I think people are pretty sophisticated about their commute. I think people are mostly trying to find what works best for them. So I don't have any advice for any individuals other than to say that these problems are fixable. And they're going to be fixed through political solutions of getting more engagement with our elected officials and telling them that we're fed up with what we have today and we want new and innovative solutions. So my advice is to pick up your phone, pick up your smartphone, and email or call your legislator and say, we need change.
I just want to point out, too, we did get a comment from the Massachusetts Department of Transportation when we told them we were doing this on the show today, and it said, quote, the Massachusetts Department of Transportation is committed to promoting effective and reliable travel and helping people throughout the Commonwealth reach their destinations in a timely and efficient manner. While we may not be able to build our way out of congestion, MassDOT is providing more tools and resources than ever before so travelers can make smart decisions. So that's the state comment. I want to thank you both. Chris Dempsey is director of the group Transportation for Massachusetts. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, Deborah.
Also, Beth Titel writes for the Boston Globe. A link to her recent article titled It's Not Your Imagination, Your Boston Commute Is Getting Worse is at our website, radioboston.org. Beth, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Stay with us. Coming up, did you ever cheat or maybe fib on your taxes? Our next guest says it might be getting easier thanks to liberal state governments. We'll explain in a minute. I'm Deborah Becker. This is Radio Boston.